This episode of the Children's Literature Podcast is brought to you by dragons.
Dragons, nasty fire-breathing critter, or cute, cuddly friend. You decide. Welcome to the Children's Literature Podcast.
We're your hosts, Chloe Townsend
and TQ Townsend.
This episode is about St. George and the Dragon.
This episode is coming out the day before St. George's Day, which falls on April 23rd. Because that's a weekday, most places in England celebrated St. George's Day on the 20th, which was yesterday as of this recording. Now, Chloe and I are both from America, and we've only lived in England for the last 3 years, so neither one of us had ever attended a St. George's Day festival or really understood anything about it.
We had a lot of fun in Leicester, which is the closest city to where we live. The cathedral was open. This is the one where King Richard III is buried, and there are a lot of art on display to see inside. Guides were there to explain why St. George is important in England and to help visitors to spot the two stained glass windows that show St. George and the dragon. There was also live music, maypole dancing, a very funny magic show, and a really cool life-size dragon puppet. We also had fun making arts and crafts and checking out the Viking camp.
Today, St. George's festivals include dragons as part of the fun, but while we were at the festivities, it occurred to me that I know nothing about this holiday or the story that inspired it. I know that the flag of England, not the British flag, but just the flag of England, is a St. George's cross, and I know that St. George is the patron saint of England. But I really didn't know any more than that, so I thought it'd be fun to find out about the original story. The tale of St. George can seem really strange to kids when you read it today, but I think if we look at this story carefully, we can see that it still has a lot to offer, even in our modern secular society. So, Chloe, are you familiar with the word secular?
Secular means that the government of the country you're living in doesn't make people follow a specific religion, and people with different beliefs are expected to get along without anybody being in charge.
That's a perfect definition. The story of St. George and the Dragon was written when that idea didn't even exist. Long ago, people worshipped whatever god their rulers worshipped. The idea that faith was a personal thing that you decide for yourself didn't exist. And if you went against the official religion, you could get in big trouble. This was true in Europe until only a few hundred years ago, and it's still true in some other places in the world today. The reason why we're explaining this is that it's hard to understand the story of St. George and the Dragon unless you know that in ancient times, there was no such thing as a secular society. In most cities, everyone who lived there would worship the same god or gods.
How would somebody go against a city's religion?
Well, the story that we're about to read is set in ancient Roman times, and so what that might mean way back then, so this is like 1,700 years ago, perhaps not donating to a local temple, not making sacrifices to a particular god who's in charge of a city, maybe prominently proclaiming that you're a Christian, which is something that St. George did later in his life, and he was actually killed for. Allegedly, we don't really know if he existed. Another important thing to keep in mind when reading the story of St. George and the Dragon is that it was written at a time when the authors of the story and the people listening to it would have just assumed that everyone was a Christian. This is a story that's explicitly about Christianity and about new people finding Christianity. That would have seemed really, really normal to the people who were listening to this story over 800 years ago. I wanted to find the oldest version of this story possible. So I did, and translated it from the original Latin.
Nerd.
Yeah. Another important thing to remember when hearing this story is that when it was written, dragons were symbols of evil. Today, kids think of dragons as being like any other imaginary creature. They're just for fun, like unicorns and fairies. A child from 800 years ago would never have had a cute, cuddly toy that looked like a dragon. Dragons meant disease, death and destruction. They were only bad and never good in old tales. Here's the story of St. George and the Dragon, which was written down about 800 years ago in Europe in a storybook called The Golden Legend.
Good title.
Right? Our story is about George, a Roman soldier originally from Greece. He arrives in the province of Libya and comes near a town called Salina. Next to the city of Salina, there was an enormous lake, and in it was a horrible dragon.
Why would a dragon live in a lake?
I mean, I don't know, maybe it was an amphibian. This dragon had terrible breath. I mean, we're talking foul, rank, awful breath. Anyone who breathed in the smell of this dragon's horrible breath would drop dead instantly.
How about a house full of Tic Tacs?
A house full of Tic Tacs would not get the job done.
A city full of Tic Tacs?
A city full of Tic Tacs would not get the job done. And anyone who tried to attack the dragon and kill it with weapons would either be eaten or have to run away like, ah! So to keep the dragon from coming to the city and killing everyone, the people would put 2 sheep outside the walls every day.
That's a lot of sheep.
It is a lot of sheep. And they ran into a problem where eventually they started to run out of sheep. So what they started to do then was they said, well, we'll put 1 sheep outside the city walls and then maybe like 1 kid. And so at first they started with the kids that they didn't like very well, but then they ran out of the kids they didn't like. So then they were putting in the kids that they sort of liked. And then when they ran out of those kids, they had to put the kids that they actually really cared about. And eventually the city's all out of kids, except there is 1 kid left in this entire city. And guess who it is? It's the princess. The king at first says, oh my goodness, no, you can't take the princess. She's my little...
Wait, he let all the other children inside the kingdom get killed, but not his girl.
Yeah, well, you know, it's hard. I mean, parents are biased toward their own children. But yes, exactly. So the king had let all the other children in the village get eaten. But then when it was time for his daughter to get eaten, his only child, and in the Latin, it's very sweet. She's referred to as Dulcissima, the sweetest. So he really, really loves his little girl. And he says, no, you can't take my daughter. But then all the people come to the castle and they're like, hang on a second, king. You let the dragon eat all our kids, and now you're just going to let the dragon destroy the city so that you can keep your daughter safe? No, 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 no. We don't think so. You're going to put your daughter out there, and you're going to let the dragon eat her, or we're going to throw you in your house, lock the door, and light the whole thing on fire. So then the king and his daughter began to weep. And the king was saying, oh, what should I do? How can I even handle this? And he turns to the people and says, you know, will you give me 8 days? Just give me 8 days to have with my daughter. And the people are like, fine, we think we can survive that long, but then you'd better feed your daughter to this dragon. So 8 days go by and the daughter still hasn't been fed to the dragon. So the people come back and they're like, king, what's up? Why haven't you fed your daughter to the dragon? We are literally dying from this dragon's bad breath. We can't handle it anymore. And so the king says, oh, my poor little daughter. Oh, I loved you so much. And I had had these visions of you growing up. And one day when I was a grandfather, I would cuddle your children and help you raise them, which is actually very sweet, right? Like, that's a sweet story. But yeah, now I have to let this dragon eat you up. And so the princess goes down on her knee and she says, oh, father, will you give me your blessing? And the king has tears running down his face and he's so sad. And he says, oh, my daughter, I love you so much. I'm so sad. But she's very brave and she stands up and she leaves the city and she goes out beyond the walls. And even though the princess is very, very brave, she has tears running down her own face because she knows that she's going to her death. Now, it's just at this moment that who should come along?
St. George.
Exactly. St. George comes along and he's riding on his horse, you know, like a proper hero. Clippity-clop, clippity-clop, clippity-clop.
Oh, stop it.
And he sees this girl just crying on the road and he goes, that's not normal. So St. George stops and he says, "Oh, little girl, what's going on? Why are you so sad? Why are you crying?" And she goes, "Dude, you need to get out of here right now. Like, really, you need to leave. You don't want to die, right?" And he's kind of weirded out by this.
What's the princess's name?
I don't know. What do you want the princess's name to be?
Taylor Swift.
Okay, so the princess is called Taylor Swift. So Princess Taylor Swift is going down the road with tears down her face, and St. George wants to know, why are you so sad, you poor princess? And Princess Taylor Swift says, "You need to get out of here right now. You need to get out of here or you're going to die." And St. George says, "No, you need to tell me what's going on, little girl. Like, why are you so sad and crying?" And she says, "I'm really not joking. You need to leave right now. Something terrible is going to happen. Please hit the road. Take your little horse and just gallop right on out of town." And St. George, he's a really great guy. He says, "I'm not leaving some crying kid all alone on the road. You need to tell me what's going on so that I can help you." And so she says, "Fine. Okay." And she tells him the whole story about the big dumb dragon and the fact that it eats like sheep and people and it has really bad breath. And if she doesn't go out there and get gobbled up, her whole town's going to die. But while this is happening, the horrible dragon is creeping up out of the lake.
What does it look like?
What do you imagine it looks like?
Probably dark purple with lavender prickles going up its back.
Okay, dark purple with lavender prickles going up its back. So the dark purple dragon with lavender prickles coming up its back is creeping toward them from the lake. And the Princess Taylor Swift says, "Ah, oh, it's a dragon. Run, run, St. George, run, run, run." But does St. George run?
No.
He does not. Because he's very brave and very good and very kind. Yes. And he jumps on his horse and he gets his lance. And because this is an early Christian story, he crosses himself and he trusts in his faith to the Christian God to say, "You know what, whatever happens to me, I know I'll be okay." And he charges at the dragon. Right? And then the dragon's coming at him like, "Rawr!" And they smash together. But St. George is just fine.
And what about his horse?
His horse is fine. Don't worry about his horse.
I love horses.
Yes, the horse is just fine. But the dragon is grievously wounded. In fact, it is so wounded that it's kind of like beaten down now. And so after they've smashed together, it's like cowering at St. George's feet. The original Latin text says that it's like a tame dog. And you often see this in the stained glass windows when you see pictures of St. George. Well, there'll be this dragon kind of cowering at its feet. And it almost looks like a golden retriever that knows it's done something naughty. So it really captures that moment in the story. So St. George grabs the dragon. Now, at this point in the story, there are two versions of the tale. At least that's what I saw in the Latin text. In the first one, he kills the dragon right away. And then in the second one, the dragon is still alive and he drags it back to the town. And everyone's like, "Ah, it's the dragon. Head for the hills." And they're all running away. And George says, no, it's fine. It's fine. I totally stabbed it and it's a wimp now. Please come back." And so all the people come back. And St. George says, "Look, you know, I've defeated this dragon for you." Again, in the story, in some versions, he's killed it already. And in others, he's just like really stabbed it and beat it up. And now it's a wimp. But he says, "The Lord sent me here to save you from this evil dragon. So you know what you should do? Everybody in your town should become a Christian now." And all the people go, "Yeah, that seems fair. That's all right." So they all agree. They say, "Yes, we'll become Christians." And 20,000 households are baptized that day in Salina. And so,
how big is the pool?
It would have to be a pretty big pool, I think. Mm. Yeah. So anyway, after that, the king comes to George and says, "Oh, thank you. Thank you for defeating this dragon. Here is an infinity amount of money." The text actually says that. It says an infinite amount of money. What it probably just means is lots and lots of money. But George does something awesome. He says, no, don't give me any of the money. You need to give that money to the poor. But here are some things you should do. So now that your town is Christian, you, king, you need to take care of the churches. You need to show proper respect for the priests. And when you go to church, you need to pay attention. No falling asleep and no like doing crossword puzzles or anything. You've got to pay attention during church. And most important of all, you need to think about the poor people and take care of them. And then he just leaves the town. He wants no reward for the good deed that he's done. And he doesn't expect anyone to give him power or money or really anything. He just had the satisfaction of doing a good deed. And that's the end of the story of St. George and the Dragon. So, Chloe, what did you think of that story?
I had mixed feelings.
What kind of mixed feelings?
In anger.
Anger about what?
Why would the village feed children to a dragon?
I think that's a fair point. Like, if a dragon was menacing our village, I definitely can say that I would go out and let myself get eaten before I made you get eaten. So, yeah, I think that's a fair point. So, what else did you think of the story?
Taylor Swift was really brave. She wrote an album called Fearless. But it's true.
In the Golden Legend, it says that this story was one of the ones considered at the Council of Nicaea. That was a gathering of important Christian leaders about 300 years after the time of Jesus, so they could try to figure out some problems within the church and decide which saints and stories would be taught as gospel truth and which ones are what they call apocryphal, which is a fancy word for it's a nice story, but we don't know if it's really true. But not being real didn't stop St. George from being very popular over the years. And he's still popular today, as we saw in Leicester City at the festival yesterday.
I don't think it matters if St. George is real.
Oh, why not?
Because the story is about helping people, even if it's scary. And it says you shouldn't take money or a reward for helping, and you should help poor people.
I agree with all those points. I think that both ancient and modern people can benefit from those lessons, and you could be Christian or not Christian and find that to be a very valuable message. We had a great time learning more about the story of St. George and the Dragon. It's not a story that we are familiar with, and it was really interesting to see how it's a tale that's so old that the imagery and symbolism has kind of seeped into English culture, almost to the point where people don't necessarily know the original tale, but they're still familiar with the most important symbols. Let us know if your culture has any ancient tales that are still celebrated in modern day festivals.
We'd love to hear about it.
You've been listening to the Children's Literature Podcast.
Please subscribe and give the show a rating.
Send comments to letters at childrensliteraturepodcast.com.
We're your hosts,
TQ Townsend
and Chloe Townsend.
Thanks for listening.